everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. Today, a super duper, pretty special one, if you ask me. Although you probably hear me say that every single episode, but I really, 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 really mean it this time. Nick, how are you, buddy? We are welcome with Nick, of course, the other man of Dadcast.
Hang on, somebody's knocking on my door.
Sorry. Right during the intro, but all right. We'll just keep it going then, man. Today on the show, we have very special guests, the Nashville Dads Club. They highlight the absurdities and hilarious musings of modern dad life as three real Nashville dads, Philip Cordell, Rashawn Rayford, and Dean Shortland. Welcome to Dadcast, you guys. How are you?
Woo! We're great, man. Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
well, glad to be here.
Thank you, man. And this is a great, you know, I love all these Zooms. So we're all five of us apparently in a different location in the world. I'm going to start with you, Philip. Where are you at this today?
I'm in East Nashville, which is where I reside, where
all right.
I was raised. Holding Dean? It down.
Thank God I'm back in Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. Rashawn?
Nashville, okay. Tennessee.
All right. So you're all back home. As mentioned off the air, I'm currently – sorry, Nick, go ahead.
Well, actually, since these guys are all in Nashville, we need to invite them out July 8th to join us at Johnny Cash's Ranch.
If that's something they'd be into, I'd be more than happy to explain what that is coming up in just a few minutes.
Exactly.
But before we get any farther, I want to thank our sponsors. Of course, this episode is brought to you in part locally by Fox 26 KMVU and Great Notion Brewing out of Portland, Oregon. Download the Great Notion app and get cold beer, amazing beer, the best beer in the history of the world, delivered cold to your door. Put in the code DADCAST10, get yourself a nice little discount. Gentlemen, the very first question, and I don't care what order we go into, it's a rite of passage here on DADCAST. Are you dads?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
God, I'm a dad.
And how many kids do you guys have between the three of you?
I think 20? Seven.
Seven? Seven is the right answer, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Seven.
You guys ready for this fun fact? Mm-hmm. That guy right there, Nick Martin, by himself is working on number seven right now. Am I allowed to announce that, Nick?
Yeah, we can announce it. We're working on it. We can't announce the results of the work.
Okay.
Always putting in that work.
That's right.
Work
in progress.
Right? Dean knows.
Yeah.
And this man's in his 40s, bringing in another baby.
Well, I'm 47 now, but seven kids? Man, you're a gladiator.
Yeah.
Well, I'm stupid. I'm a glutton for punishment. I was all done. I have five older kids and the youngest being 15. So we were almost done, almost out of the house. Mm. I'm like, I can travel. We can do stuff. I met my wife about 8 years ago and we're like taking trips, doing whatever we want. She's like, hey, I want to have a baby. I don't have any kids. I'm like, shit. Okay. So, We went through the whole IVF process and had our first baby a couple years ago. And then now she's like, I want another one. I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. We just went through a pandemic. What are we doing? So here we are. And stay tuned to Dadcast because we'll announce the results of this work soon. Very, very soon.
Right on, man. Right on.
Awesome. I applaud you. So Nashville Dads Club, let's get a little background. I'm assuming this whole thing was birthed, for lack of a better way to put it, from your all experiences as dads. Is that accurate?
Yep, that's correct. Yep. That's correct. We made a TV pilot here in Nashville back in, we shot it 2018, came out 2019, called Prince of Pools. And it premiered at the Nashville Film Fest, had a little traction. I wrote that and Dean, and I was looking for the best of the best in Nashville.
And Dean, out of options.
No, and you know, Dean and Rashad are two of the absolute finest actors that Nashville has to offer. They've done tons of work. They still get tons of work. And coming off the heels of that, I was just hanging with Rashad. We were talking about what we might work on next. And we were like, man, let's just write what we know, you know? And so that's where this idea for Nashville Dads Club came together. We set up a writer's room, invited some friends out. Dean was out for that. And we've just been rolling ever since, man.
Now, is there really much acting involved when it comes to Nashville Dads Club?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming you guys are just going off experiences and events that have happened and the trials and tribulations of, you know, the kids.
Sure, sure. Well, there definitely is always find that nugget of truth, right? And that's what we're looking for, I think, as actors. But it's not, you know, for anybody that hasn't seen the show, it is a narrative piece of work, you know, so it looks like TV. We shoot it like TV. We've got a full art department, grips, you know, the whole shebang. So it looks like a sitcom or a single cam comedy show that you would see on Hulu or Netflix or whatever. Right. So from that perspective, yeah, you know, we try to dig into the characters a little bit and bring some acting work to it. But it is absolutely based on our real life experiences. I would say, would you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
Hey, Rashad, how many kids do you have in particular and what are their ages?
I have four. So I have an 8-year-old, an almost 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, almost 3-year-old, and a 4-month-old.
Oh, man. So you are not getting any sleep and you haven't for about 10 years.
What is sleep? That's a real thing? That's something people do? Right?
Sleep when you're dead, right? Exactly.
Right. That's it.
I have a 17, almost 18-year-old going on 30, an 11-year-old son, and my baby girl, 8, will be 9 in like 5 days. Oh, so wow. I sympathize and know exactly where you are coming from, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Dean? So if he's got 4, one of you two only has 1 kid. Is that you? All right. Boy or girl, age, names, all that good stuff.
I have a girl, and in the show, we call her Daisy, and in real life, her name is Daisy. She emphatically wants the world to know that she is 4 3/4 now. But she's about to turn 5 at the end of August. She's a pocket rocket. There's no other word to describe her.
You mentioned earlier that you're 47. You and I are the same age. One kid that kind of got a late start. Did it just never work out that way? And just the chips finally fell where they may. How did that work out becoming, and for lack of a better way to put it, an old dad?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair to say. I just wanted to let fate play its hand, honestly. And my wife and I have been together now for 10 years this year. When we first got together, my wife didn't want to be a mom. And I had to do some thinking about that. She wanted me to spend some time and, you know, working out if that really mattered to me. And ultimately for me, I was more concerned about the journey with her than I was about procreating. I would have procreated beforehand had that happened, or adopted or fostered. I mean, I've always had a yearning to parent in some capacity, whether it was my kid or just being the local guy who gave a damn. I was a youth group leader for a long time. But she had a change of heart, around 6 years ago, and said, I want to be a mom. I want to be a mom. And I was said, yeah, I mean, 1,000%. Yeah. And we got pregnant very fast.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
So a youth group leader doing mushrooms, huh?
Well, no, that time I was actually heavily involved in the church for a number of years. So, but you know, I mean, the work, whether I was in the church or not, was,
yeah.
And I think of mushroom. I don't really think of mushrooms as a drug anyway. I think it's a medicine that's very beneficial when used in an appropriate setting under the guidance of a professional.
Exactly. And for everyone listening or watching, we actually spoke off air. He most recently, Dean, you were in, where was it? Uruguay?
Alon, Ecuador.
Ecuador, Uruguay.
Yeah.
having a cool little trip. So that's where that,
so to speak.
Excuse me. That's where that came from.
Yeah.
All right, Philip, you're on the clock now. Two kids. What are their ages?
Two kids aged 5 and 7, born March 6th. And then 2 years later, March 7th. So things very, very regular at the Cordell household.
It seems like you and wife have a routine.
Yeah. We keep a tight schedule. Yeah, okay. man, it, It's a blast, dude. It's a trip. You know, it's the best. It's the coolest ride I've ever been on. And I've had friends tell me, oh, you know, when they were babies, well, when they get older, it'll be more fun. I have really enjoyed every stage of the thing because it's all so fleeting. You know, when I was up at 2 a.m. bottle feeding a baby, man, like I tried to stay in the moment with the realization that like this is a kind of a precious memory that, you know, I won't get to do this most of my life. This is such a small period of time, really helped me appreciate even the tough times because, man, they're all so, so fleeting.
Yeah, that's one thing I find myself, I have difficulties with. I mean, I'm a busy guy. And as all of us dads know, typically, you know, not every time, but typically it's up to us to carry that load of caring and responsibility, whether it be emotional and financial. So there's a lot of time away from them, you know, because you're working. And I struggle with that a lot. I actually made a post on social media a couple of days ago, took a picture of my little girl in the back seat singing her little ass off. And I took a picture of her in the rearview mirror and I thought, my God, you know, she's going to be 9 years old next week. And that 9 years old, that 9 years is a blink. And then I thought, what's the next blink? She's going to be 18 and an adult. And, and it's just, and I got, I almost started crying right there. But at the same time, I was super duper proud. And it just, the emotion of that. And you ain't kidding, man, holding on to those things. I ended that post with, I am holding on to these last couple of years of childhood with dear life. Because, you know, until we become granddads, anyone granddads yet? I think Nick's is the closest. You won't get those back.
Yeah.
You don't. You do not get them back. So dads, that's one of the most important things in the world, man. Got to be there and be present. And one of my favorite sayings, Nick, you know this one. It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Agreed.
Tell me I'm wrong. All right. Ooh, got a little deep there. Well, guys, I'm so animated. I'm in Vegas and I get a little animated when I talk with my hands a lot. I apologize.
So I got to share some exciting news.
Good. I would rather stop talking.
I know you should shut up. The wife and I had our very first without the baby overnight stay in a hotel last night. You know what sucks? I woke up every 45 minutes wondering where the baby's at. How is he doing? I couldn't enjoy the moment.
Well,
that's the conundrum. I didn't get any sleep last night.
Nick, you don't take the baby and you wake up and have a problem, or you do take the baby to Vegas and you still have problems.
Yeah. You know, I can definitely tell you I'm not as sore as I was when I took the baby to Vegas. I haven't sweated as much for sure.
All right. Rashad, I got a question for you, man. I'm going to take you back. I mean, it was about 9.5, 10 years ago, give or take. And that fateful day when the lady came up to you and said, guess what? I'm pregnant. You're going to be a daddy. Can you remember the emotions that went through your head that day?
Yeah, it was a lot because we had been trying for like a year to get pregnant. And so we were, it was one of those things, like it was, she kind of surprised me with it, right? It was a card, and she was like, there's a card for you on the counter, I don't know, whatever. And like I went and opened it, and you know, the sonogram picture was there, and I really was kind of like, I don't know, I think I missed it. Like I think I opened the card and it flipped, and so like I started reading the card and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then she was like, you don't see the picture? And I was like, no, because it was white, right? Because it flipped, so it was like it matched the color of the other side of the card, so I didn't see it. And so I was like, I flipped it and I was like, what? And then like, I got like super emotional, you know what I mean? And we both just kind of sat there, she started crying. And I was like, I'm not gonna cry. But yeah, man, it was super emotional, man. And then our oldest son, he was born 2 months early. So he was in the NICU. He was born at 2 pounds and 13 ounces. So he was in the NICU for about 40 days. And so like, again, first kid, you know, not being able to take him home and just hoping that he would be all right. I mean, we knew, so my wife had preeclampsia, and so we knew like what was happening, kind of like at the last minute. They rushed her to the hospital, and like on like a Tuesday, and she was there for like 7 days, and then she had the baby. And you know, they're like trying to be calm, but like I'm an actor, so like I can tell when people are like trying to be like but I can tell like they're BSing, and I'm like, yo, like just what's real, what, tell us what's really going to, you know, what do we need to prepare for? And they were like, well, we're not 100% sure. And then the day of the delivery, she was able to have a vaginal birth, thankfully. And, you know, it was so many people in the hospital room, you know, and it was just like all these nurses on standby, and they were just prepared, had oxygen, had all these things. And, you know, it's just like you're trying to enjoy the experience of you know, your wife, you know, delivering your first child, hoping that she's okay, hoping that the baby's okay. And you can see everybody in the room is super nervous and super tense. And they're just like, well, you know, he's probably going to come out and he's probably not going to be, you know, breathing, and just, they're trying to prepare us. Right. And then my wife pushes and all these things happen. And then he pops out and he screams at the top of his lungs. And all the nurses are just like, why are we here? Like, he's fine. You know what I mean? And so he's been great ever since. Like, he just needed to gain weight. That was the whole reason that he had to stay in the NICU, but he never had issues with breathing, never had any other issues at all, thankfully. So yeah, man, like that first one was just like, it was the most pressure, but also like some of the best memories of just like, you know, wow, like this is our first kid. And, you know, and like I said, now he's about to be 9 in a couple months. And it's just like, dude, like, do you understand like what we had to go through, what your mom had to go through to get you here? You know what I mean? And it's just like, kids are just so like, oh yeah, it's all good, whatever, I'm cool. Like, you know, but yeah, it's all, yeah, man, it was an amazing moment.
I don't find that they really truly will ever understand until they're much, much, much older. I mean, like our age, when they have kids. Sure. I think once they have kids, then they go, oh.
I get,
you know,
it.
Same with me. You know, I didn't realize how much of a prick I was to my parents until, my kids, they can be little a-holes. We know that, but I love them, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So is kid 2, 3, and 4 any different for you, or completely different? Or
okay, so kid 2 was different because she surprised me again. we were just having like a conversation, and she was like, oh yeah, we're probably just something. And so she had mentioned like something about another, like a baby, something baby wise, but it didn't match up with like our first son. And I was just like, what are you talking about? And she was like, oh yeah, we're pregnant. And I was like, what, you know? So, and there are my two boys are, they're 20 months apart. So they're pretty close together in age. And so, you know, for me as a, like, I was just like, okay, cool. We got two sons. Like, I'm good. Like, we don't have to have, we're good to go. And my wife was just like, no, I want to have more children. You know, I want to try to have another boy, because my wife wanted all boys early on. Right. And so, we tried again. And of course we had a girl, and, you know, we were just like, oh, and so then it got real. Cause now it's like, wait a minute, like I'm a boy dad. Like, I can just throw him across the room. I can put him in the headlock. You know, I can do all the fun dad stuff, right? But it's just like a girl. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. Like, so I was really like shaking and nervous, because I was like, I don't know. I don't know nothing about this, you know? And so it took a while, like even holding her, and just like, she was like, are you serious right now? I was like, I can't. I don't want to break it. Like, you know, even though I had two boys, it was just different. But you know, she's like, you know, she's our regulator. Like she keeps everybody in check, you know, as far as the boys, the guys, you know, so it's good for my wife to kind of have that extra, that little backing. And then our last child is a boy. So we got 3 boys, 1 girl, and yeah, man, it's been great. But now it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a machine. Now the older boys help with stuff. And so, you know, like those commercials that you see where you're wiping everything down with the first kid and, you know, doing all this stuff and have everybody bundled up really tight and all these things. And now with the more children you have, it's just like, oh yeah, go stay with your grandparents. It's fine. Like, we just drop them off at the grandparents' house. Now we don't really like wait an hour to make sure everything's good. So it's a lot, but it's cool, man. Really fun.
Yeah. I hear you on that. The boy thing, my thing was the Heisman Trophy with hold him as a baby, you know?
Right.
And then, but that girl and other guys, tell me I'm wrong. I don't love my one kid more than the other, but something about that baby girl just, you know what I'm, I will jump in front of raining hellfire and fury of bullets to protect that little thing. You know, the boys, they can protect themselves. It's our job.
I'm going to jump in and tell you that. Yeah, you're right. Until they hit 16.
Yeah. Well, and I know that
a 16-year-old boy and a 16-year-old girl is completely different. The 16-year-old boy is still your homie. 16-year-old girl, she hates us, man. It's awful.
Yeah, be careful, guys. It's coming. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just, I mean,
no.
They know everything. You know nothing. There's no possible way in the world that all of our life's experience combined could ever match the fact of what she's going through right now. And it's tough, you know.
Just because she wants to date a guy just like you, it doesn't mean you tell her no. Like, but dad, he's just like you. Exactly. Don't date him.
You're going to be going to the jungles and doing mushrooms soon. Don't do it. You know,
don't.
Dean, I'm sorry. I think
you're fine. I'm really an open book. So
I think that's what the title of this episode is going to be. I mean, something to do with hallucinogenics, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, full disclosure on that, part of why I went to a plant medicine retreat was for my family. It was for my daughter. I'd struggled with anxiety for a long time and it knocked it out.
Was that the reason for going? I mean, that was that the top of the list to knock out that anxiety and try a different method of, you know?
It was definitely one of the things I needed to heal, yeah. I had, some really beautiful revelations because I'm always a never-be-late type of person, must be on time, get out the door. What the fuck are you doing? Oh, pardon me. What the hell are you doing?
It's okay.
You know,
everyone do a fuck. Just get out of the way.
Put some pants on. Get out the door. You've got to go to school type of person. But what I realized while I was on that trip was I'm allowing my emotions and my mindset to be dictated by a clock, by an arbitrary time made by someone else who decided this is the time my kid needs to be at school. Now, I understand there's some practicalities attached to that.
Yeah.
But it was dictating my relationship flow with my wife and my child. And so I'd be in a bad mood getting her off to school because she wasn't cooperating. And at that point, I'd left her with negative energy. And to me, that was a massive thing. Just going, I was not present for my kid. I was more concerned about the person, whoever the hell that was, that decided my kid needs to be there by 8:45 than I was the welfare of my child. And when I throw perspective on that, yeah, it'll change things.
You're making me think too, because that's one of my main struggles every single morning. Yeah. Thankfully, mom got that task this morning. You know, she didn't know what to do. That's dad's job. And daddy's gone for a week. So I got a call at 7:30. How do you get her up? I don't know what to do.
So
after this trip and after, you know, going through what you did, how is your mindset different now going through that? Because, I mean, you still got to get her there on time, right? You still need to do all the same things. Is it just a mindset now?
It is a mindset shift. My kid's going to be late sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm more concerned about her welfare than I am about pissing off a teacher because she's 3 minutes late.
Yeah. And isn't it ridiculous? I've gotten a couple of those letters, too. She's like 1 week. She was late 3 out of the 5 days. And we're talking minutes, okay? Just a couple of minutes. You know, and sorry, I wanted to feed my daughter breakfast instead of getting her to school on time. And, there's going to be repercussions for the parents. Like, what are you talking about? What are you going to do? Throw me in jail because my daughter is late to school this week? I mean,
I'm more concerned about my kid being upset and hurt and leaving me. The thing is, if I kept that path happening, my kid's going to end up with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that for her, you know. So this past, you know, I've only been home for 24 hours, full disclosure.
You just got back.
Yeah, on 20 hours of sleep. It was a hell flight, but that's fine. I'm here and I'm glad. But with relation to that particular topic, listening to my inner voice and realizing I need to trust my kid to figure what she needs. And she's going to tell me what she needs. And sometimes it's going to take me guiding, obviously, and just making sure that she's, you know, understanding that there are important things that need to occur. But I'm not going to jeopardize my relationship with her over a fucking clock.
I applaud you for that. If I had my fancy schmancy audio board here, there would be applause happening right now. Philip, what difficulties have you had being a father?
Well, I mean, I can tell you the birth of our first son, my wife is 5 feet tall. We got a doula. We were going to do it all natural. My wife's short. Our son was a normal, you know, was a large baby boy. And so that went from our, you know, on paper birth plan, here's what it's going to be, to getting smacked in the face with reality. And it was, you know, it was not at all what we planned. And the epidural was hugely helpful and successful. And it was still a difficult labor, but we got through it. And so right off the jump there, we kind of set the tone for, you know, and then for our second child, we went the C-section route, and that was, for us, just made a lot of sense so that we could bypass, you know, some of that traumatic experience that, you know, I mean, it was a trip, you know, to Rashad's point, where you're in there and like people are freaking out. And, you know, and you're just like, how am I supposed to be reacting or acting? And I don't know. Right. But, you know, the beauty with the, I don't know if you guys have had a baby by C-section. Anybody? Has anybody had a baby by C-section?
Not personal.
I haven't. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, it's a wreck shop on me. No, you know, they're like, the nice thing here is that there's the window, you know, so we're going to make it feel as much like a natural childbirth as possible. So we will, you know, we will deliver the baby, then we'll present the baby through the plastic window to you, you know, and like in my mind, I'm like, man, this is going to be, you know, circle of life, Lion King, circle, you know, and instead they're like, all right, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. And I got my thing on, and they unzip it. And the, you know, my daughter, who is one of the lights of my life. And she, it's like alien. She's like, up against the plastic. And she's all cheesy and everything and bloody. And I'm like, oh, it's beautiful. Thank you. Like, can I grab that? You know, just when you got expectations versus reality.
My lady had a water birth for my youngest. So she's on all fours in a giant spa, and I'm in the water. I was the first to be able to catch, and she's still underwater at this time. And then mom rolled over, and if she's still underwater, and I brought her out, and I had the first look, and I said, I have a purple Asian baby. Uh-huh. And that's fine. Uh-huh. Put her on the chest. Wiped out the mouth, first breaths, but that was fairly painless. I mean, I don't want to say painless.
Yeah.
Honey, you watch back this, listen to this, you know what I mean. You know, in comparisons to other people we know, your labor and birth was fairly straightforward and simple, but
we got it wide. All of us did. Really? Yeah,
ooh, crazy, crazy. Man, okay, you know what? I'm gonna veer off. Nick, you got anything before we start talking about Nashville?
No, let's talk about Nashville.
Okay, good. So check it out, you guys. We are hosting a Dadcast Live event July 8th in Nashville at Johnny Cash's farm, which I hear is just outside of Nashville somewhere where he resided, and he said it was the center of his universe. Jason Michael Carroll is performing. There's going to be a premiere of the Bay House movie, which includes stars, what's his name?
Barry Corbin.
Barry Corbin. He was in Yellowstone. Just an old school actor. I think he's like 187 years old. Sorry, Barry. You know, yeah. But it's going to be
Orange a really cool event. Will be there.
And we would, I mean, if we can figure it out, I mean, Nashville Dads Club being a part of that, whether it's just bringing out the family and enjoying the event or actually participating in some form or fashion, maybe during the podcast, we guys have you up for a quick little roundabout. I don't know. But we're going to be in your neck of the woods, and it's going to be a great event, and it's all benefiting Save Homefront, which is helps veterans who've, you know, come back and have, you know, got issues, PTSD and whatnot. So this is your formal invite if you're available to come hang out with us, you know, if it's a chance.
It'd be a pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, we'll Johnny Cash, hello?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, Johnny Cash, right.
Man, did I get that about right?
Yeah, yeah. We'll just put you guys on the guest list. I'll shoot an email out. Just we'll need to know how many. And you guys will just get like the VIP, like pre-show guest list, all that kind of stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting on topic. My next door neighbor is, well, up until I moved to this house, was Johnny Cash's granddaughter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I keep interacting with the Cash family all the time, weirdly enough. I worked on the Johnny Cash Museum, helped get that off the ground, and a few other things. So it would be an honor.
We'd love to have you guys out, man. Awesome. That'd be great. Also, planting the seed now, since we're actually recording and I have visual proof of the answer to this question. We do a annual Father's Day episode. We recorded a couple weeks prior, so it's coming up real soon. Nick, what's that date?
June 5th, I believe, at 2 p.m.
If you guys are available during that time, whether it's all three of you, one of you, two of you, whatever the case, we're going to do another one of these, except there's going to be probably about 20, 30 of these squares, and we're talking all walks of dad life, whether it be Mr. Movie Star, Mr. Sports Star, my next door neighbor, whatever, just doing a Father's Day episode, talking about Father's Day, wishing each other happy Father's Day, and just putting that positive quick thing out. It's real short and sweet. We're going to try to make it like 20, 30 minutes. We'd love to have you on for that as well.
It's on the calendar.
All right. And Nick, he'll send out emails and whatnot, but okay. All right.
Yeah.
Why are we even talking about this during a podcast? Okay. Let's talk about Nashville Dad's Club and your kids. It's a inception-y type question. Do any of your children realize at this point yet that dad is kind of a big deal, kind of a movie star, kind of a TV guy? Have they hit that age yet? And if they have they taken advantage of you?
My kids have, to a certain extent. Like they see me, you know, of course, on Dad's Club. They've also seen me on commercials and stuff. And so they're kind of like, oh yeah, you know. So they Google me. My son is at the age now where he's Googling me. And so he did it one day for a school project for some reason. And kind of embarrassed me because he was telling all his friends and his teacher, like, oh, yeah, my dad's, he's famous and he's that out. And I'm like, be quiet. No, I'm not. But so that's pretty hilarious. And now my daughter, she calls me by my, I have a poet stage name. So I'm Rashad the Poet as a in the hip hop world. And so she calls me that all the time now. So it's kind of funny just when I'm coming home, instead of saying daddy, now she's like, Rashad the Poet. So. It's kind of hilarious. So yeah, they've kind of realized it. And yeah, they definitely try to manipulate us and think that our dad is rich because they want my son showed me a four-wheeler, or I'm sorry, a power wheel the other day. He's like, it's only $1,500. I was like, right? Oh yeah, let me go ahead and just pull that out for you real quick. Go ahead. So it's pretty funny.
My daughter, Dad, you guys have almost 7,000 subs on YouTube now. Can you buy me that $1,000 race car for my birthday? It's like, honey, I don't think you quite understand. Granted, YouTube's the smallest. That's our smallest one of all the subscription-based social media stuff. But
Dude, my 15-year-old is like, hey, you guys had Brett Young on. Can you buy me? He wants like a $6,000 or $7,000 quad, and I'm like, no, I can't. Right. We don't have Joe Rogan money yet. We're not there.
My wife is incredibly difficult to impress.
Right, I have that same problem.
Yeah, she doesn't. I was on a series called Dolly Parton's Heartstrings a few years ago, and my wife is obsessed with Dolly Parton. She was like, "Oh, cool." I'm like, "That's all I get." Right. And my daughter follows suit. She's dramatic and hands and everything like me, but just like her mom, nah, they do not give a damn that I'm on TV. They're just happy if I'm a good dad and I'm a good husband. That's all they care about. So.
And that's a good thing too. That's probably, you know, that's the most important thing. The only time I ever impressed my lady with, you know, let me give you a backstory. You guys, I've worked in radio where I live for gosh, 2 decades now, all the way bottom of the ladder to being the program director of the number one classic rock station in the area. So during that time, I've interviewed and gone to a lot of concerts and lots of meet and greets, hosted them, et cetera, et cetera. Normally, she doesn't really give a crap, a rat's ass, but she'll come along and play nice. But there happened to be one show with the Hollywood Vampires about 5 years ago, and Mr. Johnny Depp was in town. And let's just say, that interaction She kissed him. He asked if it was okay. And she asked me, and I said, absolutely, you're going home with me. The next month or two, it was, you know, she was on cloud nine, and because I was able to give that to her. But aside from the Johnny Depp incident, I like to call it, and now that's something completely different these days. But right? It's
what perfect timing, right?
Right, Johnny, I'm on your scene, man.
I got you, boy. Yeah, yeah. Mine is TJ Lavin for my wife. Like, that's been like the highlight of anybody she's gotten to meet through the podcast or any concerts I've done. Is we're down in Vegas for her birthday in February, and we got to hang out with TJ Lavin for a few minutes. So that was like, she's like a huge MTV The Challenge fan and has made me watch every single Challenge episode ever.
Yeah.
And did you just get a text message from
Ring? Quick?
Yeah.
Breaking news?
Breaking, literally as I speak.
Yeah.
I came up here with a friend of mine who recently got divorced. So he's having a, I wouldn't say a rough time of life, but he could be better. And he asked me if I wanted to go to Vegas with him this week. And that's why I'm here. He's not a big gambler, but as we spoke earlier, I am. And I showed him this one machine and said, that particular thing, it's my favorite machine. It's going to hit sooner than later. And of course, when I'm up here hanging out with you guys, the son of a bitch hit it. He just won $1,300, got a hand pay.
Oh, right. That's so great. He needed that.
JP, yeah, he did. But that was supposed to be mine. I showed him it.
You passed on the good mojo, man.
So who is the, right. In your line of work and what you guys have been doing, who's, in your opinion, I'm going to ask you, Phil, the most famous person you have ever met or interacted with?
I don't know. You know, I had taken this is going to sound real whatever.
I'm in for whatever.
Say real douchey. But once upon a time, I got to tell Samuel L. Jackson in an airport in Milan how much I appreciated his masterclass on acting.
Nice. That's
awesome. Yeah, it just happened to be, you know, he was there and I happened to see him and I had just taken this class. I was like, dude, you're an excellent teacher. He's like, everybody else was trying to hit him up for random stuff. And I was just like, hey, man, you're an excellent teacher. I really appreciated that. And
I appreciate your mother effing skills or anything.
Yeah. No, but I think that he appreciated not just
the devil, you guys. Come here, man. There's my buddy Robbie, who just got a handy.
Hey, Robbie. Congratulations. Congrats.
So we're gonna split that up six ways, Robbie. Is that how this works?
Yes.
Well, look at the time. Yeah. All right,
cool. Perfect. We'll send you our Venmos, Robbie.
Yeah.
So I was watching an episode, one of your episodes. You guys had Matt Frazier. Like, I was totally fanboying. Like, I'm a huge, huge fan of Matt. Like, that dude is amazing. So how did you make that happen?
He's a sweetheart. That's all I want to say on that. What a sweetheart.
Nice.
Yeah. He's just as cool in person. I wrote this script with him in mind, thinking no way that he'll do it. I thought he was still training in Cookeville. With Rich Froning, you know, and Cookville's here about an hour outside of Nashville. And I sent it to Matt's manager, Matt O'Keefe. And they were like, and you know, he finally got back. He's like, yeah, Matt loves it. He wants to do it. And I was like, cool. He's like, yeah, we just got to work out logistics. And I was like, yeah, just drive over from Cookeville. Nope, no big deal, whatever. Not realizing that he actually, you know, moved back to Vermont and lives in Vermont full time.
Okay.
And so he flew down and was, you know, we should have assumed based on his background that he would be the most prepared person on set. But this dude knew every line, every nook and cranny. You know, we're showing up just like, you know, shooting from the hip. We've done it a few times. That's cool. And Matt, I mean, his attention to detail and his preparation were, you know, it was no surprise that he's as successful as he is. And he was, I mean, as Dean just said, he was such a sweetheart and just the coolest dude, just a totally normal dude. Right. And if you watch CrossFit over the past 6 years or whatever, like, you've witnessed the greatness, you know, and we've all gotten to ride shotgun on his journey. And I think that's why it's so cool to see him just being a regular dude.
Yeah. He's just an absolute beast, like, just insane.
Yeah.
So you guys recently had your season finale of Nashville Dads Club. What is next? What can we see?
Great question. So we do have a bonus episode that we're going to get out there. We shot 8. We've only aired 7. And so we've got one featuring our friend, another fantastic actor here in town, Henry Haggard.
One of the best in town.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
And I should mention that Danny Doan's directed and co-wrote you know, all these episodes, and he's a big figure in our world as well. He and I are working on a feature film, which we'll probably have everybody come and play in. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And then in the meantime with Dad's Club, you know, we're trying to position it to develop it into a full length show, or to pick up, you know, a corporate sponsor that'll help us, you know, run up a third season, because we just keep trying to elevate and raise the bar for ourselves. So we're
sounds
ending
familiar,
up.
Nick.
I know, right?
Yeah, y'all get it, right?
Hey, if you ever need a someone to play a radio DJ, I know just the guy. I'm just saying.
I was actually going to suggest, if you guys ever need a podcast to talk about dad shit on Nashville Dad's Club.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh.
Right? You're getting all Inception again.
He got Inception-y. It's the show within the show within the show.
Whoa. Exactly.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
What? Oh, let's see. Rashad, I have a question for you. And I want each of you guys to answer this question as well. So I'm sorry for whoever goes third. What is one piece of advice that you could impart on any new dad on being a dad from your experience?
Yeah, I think just be open to knowing that things are not always what you expect them to be. And so for me, it was just like, again, early on learning, like, oh, my wife is like super tired. She just had a baby. Like, as a man, you don't really understand what that means, I think, until you get a little bit of time on you and maybe age and maybe more children. You start to realize, like, oh, I understand like how tired she really is and how much energy it takes to not only have the baby, but to heal from the baby. And so I would impart just be patient, you know, you get up and do that extra bottle. You know, I know you're tired too, but like mom is super tired. Like she's more tired than you could ever imagine. So do that extra bottle, do that extra changing. You know, if you can, give her a spa day, you know, like just do those little things to help make her life easier. Because again, you know, if mom is happy, if mom is in a good place, then she really makes everything else work and everybody else is good. And so like that would be the thing I would say. It's just as a new dad, just go that extra mile, you know, to do those extra things to really help.
Amen. We supplemented, while we only have one child, we have two dogs and we have three cats. and so at night, trying to go to bed in our house, my wife is basically pressed like a vice with two dogs and then cats all over her. They just all grab, and then the child shows up. So if your wife doesn't necessarily feel physically affectionate or want to hug you, realize that they've been overtouched all day, every day, and it's nothing about you. And the best thing you can do is free them up and give them space. And yeah, that's how you can love on them, not necessarily giving them a hug at the time. I find giving my wife free space to breathe is really important in our world.
That is one of the first times we've heard that one.
Really?
Yeah. As far as the advice for new dads, but you ain't kidding. That is
no, I mean, they get overtouched. They just get overtouched. It's always mom, 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 woof, woof, meow, meow, all of it, all the time. And I get off light. I mean, she asks for me, sure, but about 5% of the time compared to what my wife Rita goes through. So her independence on a daily basis is really taken from her in so many ways. So giving her the space to breathe is really important.
There you have it. Philip, what is one piece of advice you could impart on a new dad?
Man, I'm going to go with that ODAT, one day at a time. Man, you know, that like when you're in the trenches, especially with a, you know, with a young baby, and it's like, man, I don't know if I can do this forever. Cool, man. We don't have to do it forever. I just got to get through today, you know, and then being present in that day, again, to the earlier point, you know, trying to keep my mind on the fact that like life is going to blow right past us, man. And I know people who've checked out during their fatherhood experience. Thankfully, not my dad. You know, I had a fantastic dad, but I know people that have. And I feel like, you know, we're willingly giving up one of the coolest experiences that we as men get to have. You know, I mean, truly, this is, I mean, it's like the coolest club nobody ever told me about until I was in it, being a dad, you know, and now we're in it. And it's like, yeah, man, it's incredible. So just, you know, when it's tough, just the realization that it's going to, you know, this too shall pass. And whenever possible, just being present and enjoying this fleeting moment that we get to spend with these tiny creatures.
It's, yeah. It's
incredible.
Love that. Okay, I'm hitting the applause button again for you. Hey, Nick, what was that?
I'm just saying, Rashad and Philip, man, you guys, I just love your advice. Thank you.
Love you, Dean.
Love Dean.
Aww, group hug. All right. Nick, have you put together a Fast Five by any chance?
I did not.
Okay, then we're just going to randomly ask questions. This will be fun. Quick, simple, easy. We'll go Philip, Dean, Rashad in that order. Okay, I'm going to ask Nick's question. What is your go-to meal when you have to cook for your kids?
Air fryer chicken nuggets and canned corn.
Dean.
Frozen peas, mac and cheese.
Rashad.
Air fryer chicken nuggets, quinoa, and kale.
Bam! And you guys are doing way better than I do.
What do you do?
What's my go-to?
Yeah.
DoorDash. They can have whatever the hell they want. My go-to?
Macaroni and cheese. Every freaking meal. Even for breakfast, it's pasta, macaroni, and cheese. I don't know how the kid does it.
My go-to is an Italian sausage with onion, peppers, and cheese in it, sliced up, cut into little squares, with a pasta and red sauce or white sauce. It goes with each, and garlic bread. It takes me 20 minutes, and they love it.
So that's a good one.
You can have a billboard with anything you want on it. What is it going to be?
Nashville Dads Club Season 2 out now.
Dean.
Get out of your own way.
Rashad.
Elevate your vibe.
Elevate your vibe. Have you guys been asked these questions before? Because you're friggin' nailing it.
Well,
all right. I don't know if you guys have perused or scanned through any of our other episodes, but there's this particular question that I've been asking of guests, whether it be on radio, meet and greets, whatever, like I mentioned earlier. And up until recently, I have yet to find anyone to properly answer this question better than this guy did. I'll let you know who it was and how he answered when we're done. But recently, two guys in a row matched how good of an answer we expected. So no pressure, but yeah, here we go. Bar. Now, if you've seen the episodes, you know what's coming, and that's fine. But here we go. Philip, Dean, Rashad, in that order, what is one thing you cannot leave the house without?
Keys.
Wipes.
Kiss from my wife.
Oh.
Yeah! And that, sir, is the correct answer.
Rashad, get it.
Fourth person in the history of me interviewing people to correctly answer that. The first time I asked that question and got that answer was a guy by the name of George Thorogood. And yeah, that was his answer without skipping a beat. He says, I can't without kissing my wife. And I spent 10 years trying to, you know, find someone to match that answer. And I know it can be kind of a trick question. You're thinking something materialistic, but and it's okay if you say keys or phone or wipes. I mean, come on, these are necessities. I get it.
Right.
But that's now the fourth time now in about 15 years total that someone has answered that question, you know, in regards to something like that. But pretty cool, man.
That it's answer, not very bad to the bone, JP, I would just add. All right. In terms of,
I think Rashad may have seen the episode, good,
yeah. Yeah, Larry.
Oh, man. All right. So that was four. Okay. You guys can star in a TV show with any actor, living or dead. Who's it going to be? You look like you're struggling, Philip. Is that a hard one?
No, now, all of a sudden, you hit me with the stumpers, right? Because, I mean, you know, in what era? I don't know. I would take a young Brando. That'd probably be fun, right?
Okay.
I'm going to narrow it down for you. The 90s, that's your era.
Yeah. The 90s. Oh,
90s, yeah. Probably yeah. Will Ferrell. That would have been a lot of fun.
Robin Williams, hands down.
Good one, yep.
Man, that's tough. I just keep thinking of like comedies. I would love to have been on the Martin show, like on Martin with Martin. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. Team Smith or Team Brock?
I'm going to go Chris Rock on that one, man. Just cause, you know, we do
still
comedy.
A little bit relevant, right?
Yeah, we do comedy, and it's tough, and I think I try to see both sides, right? But I'd probably go with Chris Rock first.
I think Will Smith was in a tough place. He was either going to upset his wife or he was going to upset Hollywood. It's hard for me to want to spend energy on that. I hope his heart's good.
Yeah, and you know the amount of pressure that man was under that day as well. I can't even imagine. That's why when I asked that question, I'm on both teams, man.
Yeah,
or none.
He's a good. I think he's fundamentally a good man.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna make me too.
Will Smith.
Everybody else got to take both.
Yeah. That is an option.
What do you think?
There's no rules here. Are you guys Star Wars fans?
Yeah.
Are you excited for what's happening in like 4 days, 3 days? Obi-Wan, Disney Plus, Friday.
Obi-Wan.
Friday?
You should have just led with Hayden Christensen. Come on.
Yeah.
I didn't look at internet or phone or anything while I was in Ecuador. So I'm missing news a lot.
So the new Obi-Wan Disney series, which is set 10 years after the events of Revenge of the Sith and 10 years before Star Wars, the original movie, premieres this Friday. And I'm just looking forward to it. I'm a super big fat nerd in disguise.
Yeah. And
I spent way too much money in Disneyland building lightsabers with my son when we went. And so he's all into it now. And I also got him into Legos. There's a good question. What are some things your kids like too much that are way too expensive, but we can't tell them that?
Yeah, Lego is a great example, right? Because it seems like, oh, it's building his brain. It's so good for him. And then you just keep building up and you're like, where's this going?
Dad, I want the $900 Millennium Falcon. Territory?
Yeah, dude. Right.
My kid's into LOL surprise dolls.
Mine was too.
And they drive that. I mean, they shit me to tears. There's pieces everywhere.
Uh-huh.
But cheap. So
I find mini shoes and sunglasses and wigs that are everywhere. Like they're barely the size of your fingernail everywhere.
Everywhere.
I found a couple in my dog's poop too, just if we're gonna full disclosure.
Keeping it real.
I'm trying to get her into something a little bit more get outside and play type. So
All right. You guys, we are getting close to the end of our time. I want once again to rehab. You know what? I'm gonna do what I was supposed to do earlier. I'm going to hit this button and I'm going to look at the show notes that were sent to us. So let me see if I could come up with Nashville Dad Club season premiere episode. Getting the Night Away features actor John Sewell and launched on March 31st. You can watch it on their YouTube channel. Now would be a good time, you guys. How can anyone listening or watching this particular episode right now find Nashville Dads Club, whether it be YouTube, social media?
Yeah, we are at everywhere at Nashville Dads Club. So find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook, and yes, find us on YouTube at either / Nashville Dads Club or at Nashville Dads Club. And we've got, you know, we're building followings across the board. They're on all of them. So different episodes pop on different platforms, and it's interesting to see, as I'm sure you guys have experienced, right?
Oh, yes.
And then I'm at philip.cordell on the gram.
The gram? Did you guys get stickers for your back windows on your cars?
I don't have to deal with that. No,
I don't know, but I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I've got them. What's the deal? It's just to get the name out there to put it in front of people's faces, right?
Yeah. All the cool kids are doing it. And
I bought us a billboard when we first started that said Dadcast, the number one parenting podcast in the world, on the busiest street in Medford, Oregon. And this was day three?
Yeah, keep in mind, we had maybe two episodes in the can at that point.
Were you happy with that ROI on that billboard?
I'm pretty happy with it. I think it I manifested to where we're at now.
Awesome.
We couldn't know. We could have gone down in flames, and it would have been just as awesome.
And look at us now, gentlemen. Just look at
number
us.
Number one parenting podcast in the world.
I mean, that's great. Nick, that was smart, man. I've got an MBA, and man, I don't know if that would have popped in my head.
I just didn't know. I just didn't feel right lying to like my entire community. But you know,
I really don't want everybody to know I'm a really shitty dad. That's so I was like, you know what?
And that's why we have this podcast with amazing guests like the guys from Nashville Dads Club. So if you happen to be a less than desirable dad and you're looking to get better or you need advice on such things, that's what we're here for. And you can go back in all the episodes. Here are three prime examples of what I would consider pretty gosh darn good dads, man, who are doing it right. The dads from Nashville Dads Club, Phil Cordell, Dean Shortland, and Mr. Rashad Rayford. Gentlemen, can I also plant a seed to do a part two episode? Because
yes,
I feel like there's a whole lot more we need to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, we're out here.
So for everyone listening and watching, this is part one and just the introduction to Nashville Dads Club and Dadcast. Everyone watching, thank you so much for tuning in and all that good stuff. We appreciate you. If you're on the YouTube, like it, hate it, whatever. We're fine with it if you hate it.
Leave us a comment.
Comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Make sure you check out Nashville Dads Club. Gentlemen, we really hope to see you in less than 2 months in your neck of the woods hanging out on Johnny Cash's property. And yeah, man, thanks for coming on Dadcast. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
And for everyone watching, we'll catch you on the very next episode. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.